blow your mind?
We're speaking to concepts that these are boxes we probably shouldn't open. So let's speak about a box and a topic that we can open. Xactimate.
What haven't we discussed? We've discussed learning Xactimate from scratch. We've talked about using all the resources from Xactaware.
Right. I think what you're doing is terrific.
Xactaware. We've talked about Xactimate for water damage, elevating your skill set as an estimator, expediting Xactimate reviews, and how to train other people to use Xactimate.
Like this outlet, I think folks should be listening to you or watching you every time you publish anything. Folks should be paying attention to it.
You got it all here. Xactimate sessions.
The Dojo Podcast.
We got a new little intro verbiage from our good friend Gordy Powell.
So excited I've got my So You Want to Be a Project Manager book.
An adjuster has infiltrated the ranks of the Dojo Podcast.
Well, that's where I'm at. So is this going to be like a conversation? We're just going to have like a back and forth sort of a deal? Or
I think a key part of our conversation would be that negotiating piece, right? Because you're representing, dealing with adjusters a lot. As you write your estimate, can you defend it? Can you speak to it and negotiate it?
With a live mic and at the speed of light, with a hearty flanger-dang learning curve, you have entered the Dojo Podcast.
We also have a new sponsor, so helping you shorten your dang learning curve. Drumroll. The Institute of Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification, a.k.a. the IICRC, is a professional certification and standard development nonprofit organization for the inspection, cleaning, and restoration industries. We also have the Restoration Technical Institute, provides world-class training designed for those who serve the restoration, cleaning, and industries related to the built environment. We're working happily with Lisa Lavender on a course related to the mindset and habits for estimating in the insurance claim space. So,
what are some of the things that can help us be more efficient? We'll address some of those in this course and then do it excellently. You know, step your game up, make it shine, you know, make it your way, your organization's way.
She keeps saying, when are you going to get it out? And I said, I'm working on it! We've got Office Services by Brandy, providing personalized bookkeeping services to a broad range of clients in many states. Glad to announce that Brandy said some people have reached out to her, so thank you for doing that and for mentioning the Dojo. And the Restoration Industry Association, RIA. Join your fellow intentional restorers at the RIA 2020 International Restoration Convention and Industry Expo, April 11th through 13th at the Peppermill Casino in Reno, Nevada. Let them know the Dojo sent you. We will have a table there for book signings, and I've got some shirts still left over, and then, you know, we can talk.
Let me
touch it. I've got a few minutes. I got to run to a basketball game, but I'm recording. IICRC sponsoring the podcast, so I'm recording a little bit of an intro.
Speaking Sigley Global Watchdog.
What you want to know is why should the industry care?
Yeah.
And why is it important?
Yeah.
That the IICRC and REA essentially have made this historic agreement. That's really what you want to know. It.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go ahead, walk through it first before you actually start recording.
Let's get the Global Restoration Watchdog on the phone, Mr. Pete Consigli.
Pete Consigli, Global Watchdog.
So hang on now. So it isn't only just the Global Restoration Watchdog.
So we're going to get on the phone someone the Dojo Nation should be well acquainted with by now, the Global Restoration Watchdog.
Pete Consigli, Global Watchdog.
He's an RIA honorary lifetime member and also known as Restoration History Google. Let's get him on the phone to provide us some historical perspective as well as what this means for restorers. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, John. How's it going, Diogo Nation?
Oh man, it's good to hear your voice. So what can you tell us, Pete?
As most of you Diogo folks know, last year the RAA had the 75th Diamond Anniversary in Orlando, and you and me spent a little time together. Their role as a trade association is to provide member benefits, put an annual convention on, many years of trade publication, and workshops, education things. I mean, all trade associations do that in all industries. The IACRC's role in the industry for many years has been to develop standards. Initially started out as self-governing type standards, and now for quite a few years, maybe 15, 20 or so, they've been an ANSI accredited provider to go through that process. But really the roots of the IACRC was in certification for professional carpet cleaners, upholstery cleaners, and then it evolved into water restorers and fire restorers. So every industry is set up similar to that. You have groups that develop standards and certification criteria. It could be more than one, and then you have different trade associations that basically serve those industries. This is what the significance and the importance of the restorers are of the IACRC and the REA having this historic agreement. I guess it initiated about 2 years ago, and we're beginning into the third year of the agreement. You now have the leading and the oldest trade association that has made an agreement with the leading industry in the industry of the standards and certification to essentially meld the processes. So you don't have competing standards. You don't have, competing certifications. You create a career path in the cleaning and restoration world of the REA and the IACRC coming together. Now we're on a path to unify the industry, to create a career path, to have one standard in each of the different categories of the work that restorers perform. And the advocacy movement now has gone afoot. To be able to do market research or some kind of scientific research to validate the different procedures. Now the industry, by working together, they have a platform, they have a vehicle, they have a way to do that.
Yeah.
Of having to either generate funds to get people to either contribute, to worthy causes of that nature.
Yep. So you'll be there in Reno. You'll be posted up in Reno. We got the it'll be the second inaugural Pete Consigli Education Scholarship, correct?
Yes. So last year they surprised the heck out of me. I mean, a lot of my friends thought that I knew about it. And I'm going, no, I didn't know about it. I was surprised like everybody else. But this year they had a committee and they had a process, nomination letters of recommendation. They invited me to they invited me to the committee. I didn't feel like I wanted to be a voting member of the committee, but I would be there in an advisory role.
Yeah,
to fly on the wall, and I was. And they went through the process they developed of how to do it, and so the award will be given out on Wednesday morning at the convention before the general session. They're going to give that award, and then the annual Martin L. King Award will be done then, and then they'll have the general session. I think the general sessions on the Wednesday are going to be Ed Cross and the AGA, and he's got some pretty high level interviews set up, and of course that's always going to be exciting and very informative for the industry. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of my friends in Reno in a few weeks, and it's all good.
Awesome.
So how else can I better help serve the Diogo Nation, John? Because I'm here to help in any way I can.
Well, hopefully we'll have people. Like we said, we got about 13 listeners. We might be at 14 now. So hopefully some of them will reach out to you. Now seeing our collaborations on articles and on the events and those kinds of things. So looking forward to seeing you in person again. And hopefully, maybe we can talk to some people in person at RIA in Reno.
Yeah.
With his dedicated guests from many industries, the daring and yet resourceful mass ninja of the airways leads a fight for fair, reasonable, and customary claims for all of us to learn from.
The goal was to get a little snippet out of Pete. The saying goes, he's forgotten more than I know. But with Pete, he's a unique breed in that he doesn't forget anything. So he obviously had more to say. This is an edited down version of the conversation we had, trying to just capture some of the historical significance of IICRC and RIA working together. IAQ Radio had Mark Springer and Kevin Pearson on Détente between RIA and IICRC Strategic Agreement 2020 Update. That's the June 5th, 2020, episode 588 of IAQ Radio, if you want to hear more about that. But now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Let's get back to our conversation, the conclusion, the planned conclusion of the Xactimate sessions that are in the can, our conversation with Matthew Allen from Adjuster TV.
The show goes on!
It's the Dojo Podcast with your host, the amazing John Isaacson.
A lot of restorers, I think they know, but don't always remember. I mean, you guys have compliance things that you have to follow.
Okay, cool.
Everyone's got a boss, right?
Okay, all right.
What would you say you do here?
The Dojo Podcast.
So I know Adjuster TV has a lot of great resources. I've watched several of your videos on that. And so in the property restoration realm, obviously you're on the other side, right? You know, your side, you all, you people.
For the bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guys, right? Yeah.
Or the good guys, you know, it depends on your point of view.
I'm pretty sure no one
the bad guys. Let's just be honest.
So similar in that regard, our goal at the Dojo Podcast, help people shorten their dang learning curve. A lot of your content is for that same purpose. Maybe there's someone out there that they want to advance their career. They know Xactimate is an important part of that in the insurance claims world. Same for property restoration, same for adjusting, right? So what are some thoughts and what are some resources that you have at Adjuster TV for the newbies?
So at Adjuster TV, what we try to do is we're trying to elevate our side of the industry, which I think, you know, ultimately, like what you're doing together, we could probably try to elevate the whole, both sides of things.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we take kind of a holistic approach to how we train adjusters. So we're teaching them how to scope, how to be efficient when they're doing scoping, and how to understand policy. Policy is a big part of what we do. And it tends to have some restrictions on what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, contractors occasionally, your butt has like, listen, it's not, I can't, policy says I can't do it. Right. So.
Yeah.
Don't shoot the messenger when you're talking to adjusters or claims reviewers. Don't always, like Roger will soon share with you from a previously recorded podcast on insurance appraisals and investigations. Don't assume the adjuster knows or maybe even has the authority. A good question to ask is, you know, if they don't have the authority, who does have the authority or who could I speak to that would have the authority to make a decision on this particular topic? Do that, if you can, delicately without offending their ego. We all have egos. And later on, Kirk Matthews, independent adjuster, will provide some insights on his approach as an adjuster with contractors and kind of elevating that, as well as I believe we'll bring Chris Stanley in and probably some Bill Wilson. So keep your ears open as we will touch in with different people throughout this discussion.
My friend Roger Howson introduced me to this term during an interview on the Dojo Podcast about insurance appraisals.
Say the good news and the bad news about now that the adjusters are answering the metrics, so they no longer make any decisions. There's so many layers of decision making above them, John, that, you know, frankly, you're just dealing with, and I'm not insulting adjusters when I call them a dumb terminal, because they don't, you know, everything gets interrupted. Don't assume that the adjuster you're dealing with knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
They haven't got a clue.
Yeah.
Many times.
Sometimes having some grace is good.
Yeah, it is. I mean, be aware of that. In fact, I find the less you know, the more self-assured you sound.
everyone's got a boss, right?
Yeah.
As far as resources for brand new people, I have an affiliate relationship with Adjuster Pro, and they have kind of a basically a jumpstart kind of a program. It's a live, I think it's 4 days and like 4 hours each session or 3 hours each session. And it's, you know, here's how you launch Xactimate. Here's how you install Xactimate. Here's how you launch it.
Okay.
Here's what, you know, this navigation does. Here's what this is. And so it's like the basic elements of Xactimate.
And then they teach how to
write a basic estimate. Okay. And then I have on my website, I have some free, and that one's $250, I think. So I have a free training on my website that is 5 videos that each one of them is about at least 15 minutes long. And I think the longest one's like almost 40 minutes long. And it shows how I run through my whole workflow with using Xactimate. So it includes routing and scheduling. It includes, making contact calls, how we log the activity that we do in Xactimate. So we're always showing every part of the claims process, and here's what you have to do in Xactimate.
Okay.
You get, if you go through that towards the end, click a link and you can get some free macros. So it's a pretty good deal. It's something I could probably charge for, but I don't. It's been extremely popular. And I think when people see the workflow of somebody who's been an adjuster, I've been an adjuster since 1999.
Yo, Joe.
So about our guest, Kirk Matthews, he is an experienced multi-line adjuster. In my experience, one of the good ones, one of the ones that you can have a conversation with and really tries to facilitate the loss within the realm of the claim. It's our job to try to work with the carrier and the client to restore them to pre-loss conditions, no more, no less, right? If you're going above that or outside of that scope, you're in the fraud territory. And if you're going under that scope, then you're shortchanging the client.
Everybody wants to like build these relationships within the industry. And I am attempting to start off like every interaction about an estimate that's written where I know that I'm going to need to cooperate a little bit. I'm attempting to start out with some sort of compliment or kind of like some sort of pep talk on how we're going to work. That's right.
Set the expectation.
Set the expectation about the relationship, right?
Okay.
Adjusters are usually pretty smart people.
Yeah.
However, any sort of negative interaction is probably coming from a place of insecurity.
I don't know who you are.
And it's coming from a place of like I don't know what it takes to actually do drywall, or I didn't, right? When I first started. Yeah. So if I have some sort of like, negative initial reaction, it's usually just because I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you want.
Sure.
And we could all probably do a better job of asking questions and realizing that the other person that we're dealing with is, doing the best that they possibly can and not trying, rip everybody off. There are plenty of people that are just trying to hit a home run on every single job.
Yeah.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
I like that. Try to start the conversation off positive, but also lay down kind of the groundwork. Like, hey, this is
I'm a direct person. It's how I am, right?
And, yep.
But also like I've learned through the years that it's at least the first time I ask, it's going to be, I'm having a hard time justifying like this. What am I missing?
Yep.
What am I missing here? It seems, Xactimate isn't anywhere close. And is it the time or the materials and
right
where,
Yep.
And pinpoint that one thing and figure it out, and then pinpoint the next thing and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Xactimate is a cookie cutter program, right? It's designed for the ranch style home, the simple loss, And so, when it veers outside of, or it goes into that custom arena, you've got to figure out ways to communicate that. And sometimes there aren't line items for it. So then how do you, communicate that and hopefully work with the adjuster to come to an agreement on
this is a plan of attack, you know?
Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
A phone call is better than an email.
Yeah.
You can get people.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Because emails, you know, for an adjuster sitting at a desk in an office, they read your email exactly how they read the email, the previous email. So if they got their ass chewed on the previous email,
you're
going to read the email the same, with the same tone.
Right. Know? Yeah. Bell to the no,
no. Contractors all too often think that adjusters kind of like have all this control over the situation and power.
Yeah.
Like I hear that. I'm like, no, you guys are, you're the professionals. You're the ones that need to be down. We're just going to make sure the price is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you pull it down, that's what we're doing.
What you're doing is terrific.
Minerals and proficiency.
This outlet.
The Diogo podcast.
Folks should be listening to you. What the industry needs is conversations like this.
Bridge like no other. It's
terrific.
Adjuster. So thank you, Kirk, for those insights. Interesting, right? Start out with a compliment. How many contractors are trying that? Disarming. One thing to think about is if you put people in a defensive position, you leave them no other option but to be on the defensive, right? So if you're coming out guns blazing, that you may have created a situation that is more tenuous than it needs to be. And like Kirk said, interesting enough, emails, I know that's something I've got to get better at. I much prefer emails to phone calls because oftentimes it's very hard to get through. But I can say a lot of times when you do get through, it is a better interaction, and you may be surprised to find maybe they're actually a local adjuster, those kinds of things, and there might be a relationship there. But, his encouragement, phone call is better than the email, right? Same thing for project managers, quality touches. Your emails kind of help your quantity touches or recap the conversation, but it is important for your customers to hear from you.
I understand.
Are you a project manager?
I understand.
Are you a business owner with project managers?
I understand.
Are you a manager training project managers?
Why does it seem like all of my customers hate me? Hate me? Hate me?
You better listen up real.
Believe it or not, it's important for the adjusters to hear from you. And little tip, a little maybe verbal judo there from Kirk, being kind, but also setting the expectation. That's something we've been working on in our company, is being clear, but being kind, being consistent, and trying to really be clear about the expectations. You know, this is in the adjuster's court. This isn't our court. This is in your court, customer. So let's get back to the other adjuster, all these adjusters today, Matthew Allen.
Well, and would you say, I mean, the guiding principle, it's crazy. I think we all know that, but sometimes we forget it. The guiding principle is, what does it take to restore this structure to its pre-loss conditions, right? Accurately. Yeah. And then how do we accurately reflect that in the software that, I mean, it's the predominant software is Xactivate, right? I mean, that's the preference from the carriers. And there's a few competitors, but it's pretty much the the way.
They've got 90%. Like,
Yeah.
I've been using Xactivate since 1999. I mean, it's,
since the 1900s.
Muscle memories. Since the 1900s, yes. And so I got a lot of muscle memory with Xactimate. And I think, you know, just like on your side, in order for us to make good money as adjusters, we have to close a lot of claims, right? So we have to kind of have a volume thing, especially on the cat side.
Yeah.
But we can't also be terrible. We can't turn in just a garbage file, because then you guys are going to be like, this is a garbage file, you know, send it back. And then it generates piles and piles of work for everybody. So I try to teach people to write a good, accurate estimate right out of the gate, and being a fast and exact way, knowing where everything is and how to troubleshoot it. Absolutely critical, 100%. Yeah. So those are the kind of the main things that we have for resources for noobs on our website.
Yeah. The person that's watching this that's maybe been writing, you know, adjuster, property restorer, that's been writing for a while, what are some of the tools you all have and maybe some tips for stepping your game up when it comes to writing Xactimate estimates?
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, you know, the first element, like we said, is having some fluency in Xactimate. So a person needs to be able to like take their scope and translate it into Xactimate and get an accurate number. Like what you just said, yeah. That guiding principle is we want to return the insured to pre-loss condition, whatever it takes. Kind of the mantra that we use is like, get them to pre-loss condition, whatever it takes, using customary and reasonable construction practices for that area within the scope of the guidelines, the estimated guidelines, and the policy that they have, right? So I would say you build your speed with your efficiency, but you, in order to have that second piece, the quality piece, you have to have, you know, you have to have some construction knowledge, absolutely, yep. 100%. And there are a lot of adjusters out there who don't.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a deficit on our side, is that there are a lot of adjusters who walk into a room and they just, you know, they don't have a clue what they're writing. So they're writing aluminum siding for vinyl and vice versa, because they just don't know.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that, you know, the ideal situation for the carrier and for the customer, for the homeowner or the property owner, if they're a business or, you know, whatever, is that they, when you and I are standing in their living room saying, looking at, holding up an estimate, both of us are nodding our heads. Yes, this is, we both agree on this.
Yeah.
You say I can do it for that. We say we're totally fine with this. Here's your first check. The homeowner or the property owner is like relieved, right? And that it's, yeah. it makes the process faster, simpler, smoother for everybody. The carrier is not going to lose that customer. There's not going to be like a confrontational adversarial relationship between you and me because we agree. And for me, that claim's not going to reopen, you know, unless something's found later that makes it whatever. So I think that having that good, accurate scope, right, and having that construction knowledge makes it a lot easier for an adjuster to be able, if it, you know, worst case scenario, maybe it goes in court, right?
Yeah.
They want to be able to defend what they did in the policy or in that estimate. So that the you know, the cross-examined and they're saying, well, you know, the house has vinyl siding on it and you have in here, you know, 2,700 square feet of aluminum siding. What's that for, right? Well, I mean, then you look like a dope. Right. Your credibility's gone.
Ben Justison, Just Right Cleaning and Construction, actually happened to be wearing the hat. He talked about the importance of digging into the resources with your Xactware license and making that accessible to your team members. There,
if you're brand new to the game or you've been doing this for a while, F you, pound sand. That's going to help you make better estimates.
Aren't you tired of getting dirt kicked in your face? I am.
There's, I believe it's called the ILX. It's a compendium of construction knowledge that estimators and adjusters can go through to bolster their knowledge of the built environment of structures and how they're put together.
Oh boy.
Ben Justison, reading Be Intentional Estimating, by John Isaacson.
This is the podcast. Sorry. Oh,
okay. Once you get to the point where you're not willing to listen or not willing to learn, F you, pound sand.
You know, all those, I was talking to a contractor this week about, you know, all those little things that build up an effective estimate to where there's profitability there.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
So if you're not using certain line items or forgetting sequences, things like especially drywall, messing around with the linear foot component or the half, you know, minus using patch J, you know, understanding how much texture is included or how far the carrier allows the texture to go beyond the tape joint, you know, from a standpoint of getting approved initially and then possibly having to supplement, you know, which carriers do PNTSP for the repair, which do wall-to-wall, one coat, two coat, justifying those things. All those things go into play when you're trying to get your estimate to reflect what your team's going to be doing and using the programs.
But this is what your estimates look like when you just take a bunch of line items. take a bunch of supply side items. Just take a bunch of supply items. And you throw them against the wall and you hope they stick. And you hope some adjusters brave enough to come up and say, yeah, it'll work. Why is an estimating structure, process, mindsets, habits important? A bad estimate, a jello estimate that won't stick to the wall, that's your profitability. That's your ability to hire more people. That's your ability to put some things away for retirement. That's your ability to take a vacation. That's your ability to not be stressed out every single day that you come into work. Just take a bunch of my items. So there is a difference, right? There's understanding mitigation or construction. There's understanding the estimating, and then there's the capturing of all the data. You know, those are distinct processes. We talk about all the time, thorough data capture leading to accurate data input. That's the foundation of a defensible, solid estimate. And we've got Ask Amy was a part of this discussion. Go back and look at that. As far as them reminding you, hey, you might have missed this item. They do an instantaneous estimate review. There's also built into that through Actionable Insights and Enlightened Restoration Solutions, F9 notes that support the use of certain line items and remind the estimator, like if you're an owner or manager, you can't be everywhere at once. So no. We're going to bring in Chris Stanley, IA Path. They also train independent adjusters. Let's add all these pieces together and hear what Chris has to say about the importance of how you approach training your team.
And what I would suggest for new people is you need to build your box, right? And so that concept carries over to our training where we teach people to know what that box is. So how I do that as a trainer, and you might take interest in this, is first off, you have to give people a process, or if you're training yourself, you have to give yourself a process. What is it John wants me to do on every mold estimate? What is the process? Well, first the admin information, second it's the dimensions or the sketch or whatever it is for you. And so we give our students a process first. Here's a process, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? This is the steps you're going to take. Then we come back and we say, okay, that's the process. Now, how do you... Yeah, exactly. So how do you remember what to do at every level? And then our second kind of way we do that, it's kind of tagged on. I have a whole presentation I'll share with John on this that I did, is really what we call cheat guides or cheat sheets, where it's like, okay, we found a way to put on one sheet of paper 90% of the things they needed to know when looking at a vehicle within that process and framework we gave them. Yep. And then lastly, the last way to learn, and for even teaching yourself, you can do this, is videos. Okay, so now that you have a framework, you have a cheat sheet that's going to remind you all the little details, what you need to know. Then you have a video showing you how to piece that all together into an estimate. So now I can take one estimate and say, okay, you have your framework, you have your cheat sheet, but here's how you actually input it into the system, or here's how you actually upload the photos to the insurance company.
Yeah.
You do those three things properly, you eliminate 90% of questions by the people you're training, working with, or that you're going to have to ask people yourself if you create this yourself.
This is something we have been working on, you know, in our company as well, developing SOPs, the standard operating procedures. I think, I don't remember if the article's out yet or which one that is, but before you can standardize your operating procedures, you have to operate your standards, procedurally operate your standards. So, you know, don't shortcut this process. I think it is important, even though it takes time, to think through, how do I do the things that I do, record them, write them down. It's going to be a living document, but that way you can effectively delegate that process. So it's not just you explaining it and expecting somebody to get it. Guilty, guilty. But, you know, hey, we've written this down. Where we've been able to, we've even recorded videos. I know how that's kind of their bailiwick, where they help you with videos and things to supplement like your manuals and handbooks and those kinds of things, which is a really cool process. It is possible to somewhat do it yourself, you know, with a Google Doc and videos in the files. So, but yeah, like help your team build the box. Maybe we don't want to McDonald-ize everything, you know, get everything just to where it's robots, but we want to have some consistency in our deliverables.
Is it true if I'm level 3 certified, anytime someone rejects my estimate?
And how dare you?
I can pull the certification out. Here's my certification. They will just cower.
I wish that was true.
Most carriers have estimating guidelines. Like, you know, State Farm will say, if we're going to paint a wall, we want you to subtract out every opening window or door that's 22 square feet or bigger. Yep. You know, Liberty Mutual might say 25 square feet. So, and then they'd have a bazillion different rules about what to do if you have plaster, right? Yeah, what you can do with the plaster. Or if you have T-locks, or if you have, you know, this or that, or repairability issues, all of those factors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, that helps an adjuster to write an accurate estimate, is having all that knowledge. And they give you that, like when we get like deployed to storms, they'll send out a million emails to us. One of those emails at least is going to have a big old zip file in it that you can open up, and it's going to have every single policy you're probably going to see. It's going to have the estimating guidelines. It's going to have job aids for A through Z.
Yeah. Right?
So you shouldn't ever have to call your manager, and you shouldn't ever have something wrong in your file. If you just open that stuff, read it, familiarize yourself with it. So having that extra knowledge, I think, you know, helps to add on top of that layer of fluency in Xactimate and your estimating software, and then having the knowledge, the construction knowledge, is absolutely critical. And then understanding how the policy applies in each circumstance so that you're not getting angry phone calls. I mean, you're going to get angry phone calls no matter what.
Why does it seem like all of my customers hate me, hate me, hate me?
But you know, you reduce those and you keep your manager's phone from ringing. I mean, as an adjuster, that's what we aim for. So definitely.
But career tip 101, right, is make your boss's life easier, right?
Exactly.
The show goes on!
Is part of the Xactimate process is negotiating, right? So that's writing an accurate scope, being able to understand what's in your scope, what you've communicated in Xactimate, and defend it. If, again, just because somebody asks a question doesn't mean necessarily that they're personally attacking you, right? And I think contractors, a lot of contractors don't remember, like, you have the same, if not more, compliance issues on the adjusting side that you have to jump through, hoops you have to jump through, right? And try to remember. But like you said, if there's a way to explain, defend, and articulate, this is why this particular aspect of the scope is important. Or again, asking, well, you don't agree with that. You know, is that outlined in the policy, or is there another way we could communicate that better?
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Actually, Rico Garcia Jr. and I were talking about this at the AML winter break. He hosts the Restoration Domination podcast, and it's the person that you've been pursuing as a guest the longest or the most, or it just hasn't lined up. Inevitably, that's going to be the person where there is the most technical difficulties with the recording. So, you know, if you're out there thinking about putting a podcast together or doing videos for your business, just know that there are lots of hiccups and bumps in the road. So we were able to talk to Stephen Patrick from Level the Playing Field.
I was looking on your website, Level the Playing Field, and I do appreciate that. You said we've come back around, not because we hate insurance, but we have so much respect and love for it and want to see it carried out properly.
About ONP and some other methods of working with adjusters. So here's a clip of that conversation and some of it in his insights into that process.
I used to teach adjusters how to deal with unreasonable contractors because there's a bunch of those running around as well. And it's the same thing. I teach, if the adjuster starts asking the contractor a bunch of questions that make him realize that his position is untenable, that it's not a reasonable, unless the guy's just an absolute jerk. And then he'll say, you know what? You made a really good point. I haven't thought about it that way before. Yeah. And that's what you want to do. You want to ask questions.
I don't know who you are.
You know, you can say, consider this, and you're not being pushy. And so sometimes it's the small thing that you say, you could ask that question, blah, blah, blah. Isn't that fair? And then now the other person has, everyone believes they're fair-minded.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone believes that, even though it's not true.
I don't know who you are.
An adjuster should not be able to say, you know, I'm denying this line item or claim or scope just because I say so. But on the opposite end, a contractor can't say, well, this should be approved just because I say so, right? Shouldn't be. I guess the correct terms are arbitrary and capricious, right?
When an adjuster makes an outlandish statement or something like that, you can ask the question, well, how did you draw that conclusion?
Yeah.
I don't know what you want.
You ask questions of the adjuster, you can't be like, it can't be like an interrogation or accusatory.
Yeah.
That's going to come across and it won't work. What you have to do is you have to actually be seeking out, trying to understand their position. So if you humble yourself, it makes it easy for the other person to humble themselves as well and say, well, you know, that's a good point. You know, I don't know it all either. And so actually that's very effective just to humble yourself because let's face it. Have you been wrong before?
No.
Not once. Well, I have. Well, you're wrong about that.
I don't know what you want.
You know, nothing works 100% of the time. Ask questions. It's like a doctor. See what a doctor does? When you go in, he doesn't make a bunch of statements. Have you ever noticed that? When you go to the doctor's office, what do? They ask a bunch of questions and they ask very broad questions. And depending on your answer, then the next question is more narrow. And then they get down to their differential diagnosis. Is a differential diagnosis. They ask them questions. They don't go in, they're presuming to know what your needs are or what your issue is. They ask a bunch of questions. Likewise, we ask questions. 90% of what you should, all correspondence with an adjuster should be in the form of questions. And our objective is to, number one, trying to understand their position, where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, consider this. And then you put forth your position. And the difference is that we are going to explain, justify our position, not justify it because of my opinion, but because of facts and evidence.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
You need to be able to explain and justify every single thing that you're putting forth, that you're suggesting that the adjuster include. And of course, the gold standard of evidence is credible, objective, third-party source material. That's the gold standard. Like, for example, the building code. The building code isn't trying to save the insurance company money or trying to make the contractor more money. The building code just is.
Asking questions, right? Why are you asking me that? Or why do you see it that way? Or what in the policy leads you to make that conclusion? Again, if you're not immediately going into putting them on the defensive, maybe there's an opportunity to better understand and collaborate. Like Kirk said, maybe they just had a bad day, or really, even like Stephen was saying, we're dealing with a contractor that just gave them a rough time or wasn't supporting the evidence. So, you know, not trying to get yourself lumped in with that, but seeing what we can do to possibly work with each other to sort this out.
This is the Diojo podcast.
One listener phrased it best, annoying but helpful. So if on Thursdays you need to be annoyed but helped, give us a listen.
What's that now?
Yojo.
There are a few things that every adjuster wishes contractors knew about their job.
We're not allowed to pay for any upgrades.
Yeah.
If a guy says, well, you know, we can't do it for what you said, and look at his estimate, and he's got, metal steel shingles or steel tile or whatever on the roof, and the homeowner had 3-tab. For code issues, right? The contractor says, well, we have to put ice and water shield on this estimate because it's code for this area. The adjuster needs to have that knowledge as well. I find that sometimes homeowners, if you can't explain it correctly, or contractors will take it personally.
Yeah.
If I say, well, I can't pay for that because it's just simply not covered. Well, what do you mean? Yeah. Why do I have insurance in the first place?
Yeah.
So having a little bit of empathy with, like you said before, we do have a lot of compliance. We have a lot of guidelines that we have to stick to. The carriers have specific rules. You know, some of them, they'll say starter and ridge is counted in the waste, right? Guys will battle you to the death on that one.
Yeah.
Maybe rightfully so, but I can't just put starter and ridge in just because the guy is mad about it, right? I have to write the estimate because it'll never go, it won't go through. It just gets sent back to me. They'll say, Matt, take it out. No. Some guys who are like, well, I'm doing this to the letter, they may get undercut by somebody who will do an okay job. Maybe you'll do a fine job. Maybe you'll do a terrible job. I don't know. But somebody else can do it for less than, you know, the guy who's demanding top dollar because he only hand nails and he only uses, you know, gold staples and he only uses.
Gold-plated staples. So. I mean, the thing that's an important conversation contractors have to be aware of too is, you know, if the standard is we're restoring to pre-loss conditions with materials of like kind and quality, right? And it's no more, no less, right? Like if the carrier is trying to short scope, then that's not right. And if the and you need to articulate an appropriate scope, but then if the client is trying to, you know, cash up, you know, or get upgrades, then that's not right either. You don't want to be party to either of those scenarios. So.
It's against the law for a homeowner to benefit on a claim. It's like it's federal law. It's law.
Yeah, I think some of the objections would be, you know, even though insurance companies are constantly benefiting from short scoping, right? So,
hey, listen, they get taken to court all the time. And usually what happens, you know, if you have an inexperienced, I've never worked for a company that's ever like said, all right, get out there and save us some money.
Right.
Like pay what we owe, get those claims closed. We just want them off our desk, right? Because having a cat event costs them money just like crazy. So they just want it to be over. But if you have an inexperienced adjuster who underwrites, you know, by a little or by a lot, that file could end up in court. And the carrier, especially if you get an unsympathetic judge, which you're gonna, as you're big business, right?
They're
gonna lose. And it may be that a $15,000 claim, if you'd written it correctly, turns into $150,000 just because I don't like insurance companies check, right? And that happens all the time. So I think that when we get QA'd, like quality assurance goes around and they follow us around, they will hammer us on stuff that we miss a lot more than we'll get a little hand slap if we overwrite by 5 or 10%.
I think our mutual friend, Chris Stanley with IAPath, talks about, you know, understand everybody has a box. You know, everybody has a box, everybody has a boss. And if you can figure out what their box is and try to work with them, you know, a lot of those...
Yeah.
Usually it can become a positive outcome.
Hopefully this has continued to be helpful in the spirit of the Xactimate sessions. You know, helping you understand how to better approach the program itself, the software platform, estimating as a whole. Remember, thorough data capture leading to accurate data input, elevating your knowledge of what you're doing, whether that's mitigation or repairs, you know, understanding what goes into those processes and breaking those down, reading the line items and understanding, you know, okay, this is or isn't included in that scope. Ben Justison was with our local networking group, and Xactimate had fairly recently elevated the assumed travel time from 30 minutes round trip to 60 minutes round trip. So, and there's been conversations about fuel surcharges and those things from various outlets. So hopefully this is helping to elevate, to shorten your dang learning curve. We've got products out there, the Be Intentional Estimating book, the So You Want to Be a Project Manager book. I actually just dropped a conversation we had with Professor Randy Rapp from Purdue University. He has a great book on disaster project management and disaster recovery, bringing order to chaos. You'll want to check that out.
Initiative, agility, depth, and synchronization. These were the four things that we would hammer on, the imperatives for success.
And this is available on the Purdue University Press.
Right. Amazon offers it too.
Yep, yep.
It covers a lot.
Where there's a great need is new managers learning how to train others.
I understand.
Are you a manager training project managers?
And owners wanting to grow their business and bringing new people in and getting that clarity and consistency in your process. So,
I understand.
Are you a business owner with project managers?
So hopefully we help fill some of those voids and can be a vehicle to reiterate many of the things I'm sure you're telling your team members. So let's get back to Matt Allen. He's going to recap rapid fire a few, three more tips.
Blow your mind.
We're speaking to concepts that these are boxes we probably shouldn't open. So let's speak right about a box and a topic that we can open. Xactimate.
Number one is I would say to train yourself to a certification. And I would even take the certification to at least a level two for Xactimate, right? Because we could put that on a resume that shows proficiency, that you've demonstrated proficiency. And then that will also teach you to be fluent in the software, to know where everything is, right?
I saw this book on Amazon.
Be Intentional Estimating.
Like it was a standalone. It was original. There's nothing like it out there.
Dang.
It is developing your mindset and your habits for success.
And then I would say you've got to know construction, have to know construction, and how to scope the construction like elements on a building.
From a thundering airwaves in a cloud of dust with common sense, it's the DLJO podcast with your host, the amazing John Isaacson.
And then finally, more than anything, because more than anything, I would say practice. Right. Just not like, don't try to break total losses. Don't try to like sketch the, you know, Disney princess castles and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to do that.
The Millennium Falcon.
I'm eagle view on that one. Right.
Yeah.
Say, pretend like you got a water spot on the ceiling and pick a room, pick a simple room for the first one, a bedroom. Right. Okay. Well, I'm going to scope it. I'm going to take photos. I'm going to put all this information into Xactimate, and I'm going to label the photos. I'm going to write a little small activity diary. And I'm going to write a 4, 5, 3, whatever it is, you know, line item estimate.
Yeah.
And then that might take you, the first time it might take you an hour. Second time it might take you 30 minutes, you know, and then move through the house. And maybe the ultimate one is to do like a water stain on the wall in the kitchen, right? So what do you do with all those cabinets? You know, because that's the kind of thing we're going to see. Those are the things that get us like kind of hung up.
Yeah.
So more than anything, practice, because a lot of times you might go get your Xactimate level 2 and take a Xactimate ILX or get some kind of like construction knowledge, you know, whatever.
Having a consistent estimate structure helps whoever is capturing the data on the initial job walk to have a structure in their mind. We're going top to bottom. You know, we've got our prep items, we've got walls and ceilings, we've got paint and trim, we've got our flooring. Here is a sample estimate. Actually, honestly, not that terrible of an estimate. It's interesting here. So when it comes to structure, we're hanging the drywall, we're seaming the joint repair between the new drywall and the old drywall. So we got a flood cut here, right? We got some heavy hand texture, but then we're removing the drywall after we've installed the drywall.
Art and science of estimating.
Be Intentional Estimating.
So just from a sequence standpoint, let's put the removal before we do the replacement. Maybe. And I see floor protection all the way down here. I would have that at the start. There's just some line items that are missed and legitimate. But the main thing I wanted to talk about is estimate structure. Oh, this is funny. Phil's hose and patch as needed. Let's open up just a simple, without even changing any of the line items, we're going to create a structure, prep items, walls, paint, and trim. I think this helps when an estimator or reviewer is reviewing the estimate, when the customer's looking at the estimate, you know, line items, when you just take them like spaghetti and throw them against the wall,
be intentional,
you know, and hope they stick. This is a pretty well written from that standpoint of legitimate scope, but I think the structure can really help, you know, expedite the review process, expedite the negotiation process, get everybody kind of on the same page much better. But also when it comes time for production, it's a sheet that the project manager can better budget and scope from, and the team is better equipped to roll out from.
Those are the three things: is learn the software, learn construction, and practice.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard.